moonshine sipping, beer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, he's Addy and I'm Mo, and we just finished watching Hard Justice.
Hardcore Justice.
No, Hard Justice it's called.
No, there's a core written over it in red.
Oh, when did they do that?
About 3 years ago.
So it's Hardcore Justice now?
We're Hardcore Justice. We're Hardcore Justice.
I can't wait till it's called just Core Justice.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. What if it's called Justice Justice?
Buys.
I think so.
Nevertheless, we just finished watching it. TNA has once again continued its string of good to very good to great shows, right? Basically, lately, everything's good to great. And I think this one falls in the very good category.
I think, I'm thinking that, especially when you get to, like, this show really built, I think. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't... when I was going through the show, I mean, it was all kind of just your basic shit, right? But then when it got to, I don't know, the last probably three matches,
it started to really come together, yeah.
Yeah, like I'd say it would probably be kind of a in-the-middle show.
Which is what you'd want.
And you start to lean, like the King and Ion match wasn't, you know, awesome.
No.
But it was, you know, better. And so...
And the ones before that told the right story and did the right thing. They were good enough that they didn't suck. Nothing sucked. But they didn't try and steal the show. They didn't do anything, you know. So you basically, like you said, and then you built... so the pay-per-view was strongest at the end, which is where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, and this is, and it is different. It has a complete... Their pay-per-views... Yes, they furthered the Aces and Eight, their big angle. They did further it a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But that was the only angle really furthered, except for angles that would result in matches.
And again, like, what I'm liking about Aces and Eights is, yeah, furthered a little bit, but it wasn't, it wasn't dominant. I wasn't sick of it. It was just kind of coming out a bit more, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, and they furthered it a little bit, and... Like I say, no other angles shot, nothing else backstage except for Aces and Eight. Like I say, they beat up, they showed up at one match and they beat up one guy, okay?
Yeah.
But no Claire Lynch, they didn't have to have that stuff. They didn't have to, no, none of that backstage. Like
no,
you say,
no park.
No, and none of the backstage, like there's interviews, but there's no backstage vignettes and the shaky camera, that documentary feel.
Exactly.
All that stuff is left for impact, and pay-per-views feel like they're covering a sports event. And they further a little bit of angles, and the other angles that are furthered by the finishes of the match lead to further angles.
Yeah.
So it really, that's what I like. Very good show. Not great, because nothing was like a five-star match or anything, but some really, really,
yeah.
really good show, really solid. Crowd pretty good tonight. Not terrible, not spectacular.
No.
Which is fair. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoyed this show.
Oh, definitely. I mean, do we just want to sort of dive into it with the...
Yeah,
why don't we start with the main event? As Kid Cash and Gunner faced Hernandez and Chavo.
Yeah, well, Chavo is main event anywhere in the country.
Yes, he is, especially in your bedroom. But, I mean, Chavo and Hernandez won. That seemed to be, you know, like this was just kind of a basic opener, nothing.
That's fine. I like Chavo and Hernandez.
Do you?
Super Mex.
You like Chavo?
As a team.
Huh.
I do like that. I'd like to see them stay with that for a while.
And again, as we were mentioning during the show, as I sort of said to you a while back on this show, when there was the, Mexican America was the gimmick, probably about a year ago now, a year and a bit, was it Anarquia, to me, seemed like a really low-rent Chavo.
And I think that's probably a fair comparison. So this is good. I mean, and you know what? You probably... I don't mind seeing Hernandez and Chavo versus Daniels and Kazarian for the titles at Bound for Glory. I mean, I'd be okay if they go in that direction. So.
And I don't think they will because I think that Claire Lynch shit has to, you know, end at Bound for Glory. So
I don't know. It just feels like, AJ and
Daniels and Kazarian, it's all tied in together, right? So it's all kind of got to... got to happen there. So I can't see, but I mean, I could see at the next. I mean, at the next pay per view, if none of them make the final four, then that's a very serviceable tag team undercard match. Yeah.
So what is it? It's going to be AJ in a 2-on-1 match. Is that what we're looking at?
I have no idea at this point.
Kazarian turns on somebody.
I think
is the guy who gets the rub out of all this.
I think Kazarian. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Kazarian. I guess, but they've already done that kind of Kazarian's conflicted and he come out and be a heel. So it's like there's no point for AJ to believe him if he does, you know, say I've had enough of this. So
no, I think it's the other way around. I think in the end he's even the bigger heel than Daniels.
Ah, maybe that's possible. That's very possible. I mean, I think that story though still has. I mean, we're still say 8 weeks away. Let's say roughly from Bound for Glory. So there's. I mean, I don't think we're really going to know till probably about 3 weeks before this. So we got another month or 5 weeks before we're going to see how this all shakes down. Because part of this, and we'll get to, is it happens in the ladder match. So
the thing is, a tag team match with AJ having a partner and beating them has already happened.
Yes.
So
I know. So I mean, who knows? I don't. Honestly, I don't know. I don't have an idea of where you could go. I don't necessarily dislike that, but I'll just wait and see where you go with it, right?
I don't know. Claire Lynch could also be a storyline. Like I say, Claire Lynch could be her own storyline with AJ now, and Daniels could go on and Kazarian.
They
move on to something else.
I would agree with you normally if they didn't throw the baby shower for, right?
That's
so
totally true.
It's still they're still tied in now. So. Until they, I mean, you would have thought that they would have blown that off possibly at that, you know, with that false count anywhere, but, or last man standing there, but they didn't, obviously, so it continues. So I don't know, like I said, we didn't know at the time after Destination
sure
X.
Are we sure that Claire didn't blow that off?
Hmm? No, not Kelly.
Oh, yeah. My mistake.
Yeah, sorry. That's all right, can happen to anyone. Well, everyone. But, so we'll get to the next match, which is the Falls Count Anywhere match. As I said, was RVD, the Pope, Mr. Anderson, and Magnus. Before the match even started, Aces and Eights took the Pope out.
Yes. So we had a three-man match.
And again, this was okay, I guess, you know?
I mean, I would have had Magnus win. Magnus was definitely into it. I mean, there was a point where he's outside. He's trying to get a chair. The crowd, guy in the crowd won't let him have the chair.
Yes,
so he goes. He has to ask for one. What was it he said again?
Oh, he said, "Somebody get me a fucking chair."
It was awesome.
I just love how the fan at ringside outsmarted Magnus or overpowered Magnus.
Yes, yes.
What a tough guy.
He's
British, though, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yes, for a British guy, he is tough.
Yes.
And has a lot of teeth.
It's true.
Not all of them necessarily.
No.
More than average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah.
So I mean, RVD won, you know, again, decent enough.
Do we have a lot of listeners in England?
I think so.
Oh, shit. I love England.
Do you?
No.
Huh. Sorry to hear that. I like everybody in the United Kingdom.
Anyways.
Devon beats Kazarian.
No, I gotta go back to this a little bit.
Oh.
RVD
yes.
won, and if you're gonna choose a winner between him and Anderson... I'll go with RVD over Anderson.
Yes.
I would have preferred Magnus wins. Magnus is the guy with the most upside there by far, even though he's the least over.
Yeah.
But RVD, I would say he needs to retire before 2013 rules of ends. Before 2000, he's just bloated, lost a step, looked clumsy as hell tonight. Can't do the things he used to do and still tries to do them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's taking the bumps. He's still, his spirit is willing. His body just won't let him anymore.
I think that's kind of what it is. And in the style that he wrestles, there really is no other way. Now, he is, though, I mean, we used to always see him, and WWF used to make a big deal out of his, you know, like his stretching regimen and stuff like that. So, in terms of his body... And his ligaments and things like that. I think, you know, if he's been able to keep that up, I think he may have the better be better off physically, you know, than average, let's say. Than an average person that's done the shit that he's done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, better than say Mick Foley or better than even Kevin Nash at this point.
Or Sabu or someone like that.
Yeah, exactly, right? But
or Jeff Hardy.
Which is probably why he could still, you know, get out there and perform at any level at this point. But yeah.
He lost a step. from the time he was in WWE and he took off, what, 15, 16 months and then showed up in, or maybe even more, showed up in TNA.
Yeah.
He had already lost a step, and since he's re-debuted there like 3 years ago or whatever it is,
yeah,
he's lost another step or two steps.
Well, and yeah, and I also think that, again...
By the end of 2013, he should be looking to wrap this up.
And 2012 or 2013?
2012, I think, is too quick to wrap it up. I think it would be...
Yeah.
I think there should be something to do with it, but I think by the end of 2013, and I'm going to say the exact same thing about Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle still had a great match on Thursday with AJ. Could still have the great matches, but didn't look so good tonight.
I'll disagree a little bit on Kurt Angle and the fact that the difference, I think, between the two is that, like, RVD never had any other style. RVD was your flippy-doo, split-legged moonsault, you know, rolling thunder, you know, kick to the face. Style, jumping, flipping style, where
yeah.
Kurt Angle does have a little, has the ability to do, and has done, more of a mat-based style. Yeah, he does the moonsaults, and he does some of these high-risk things that I think he can cut out and still have a decent...
Both of us done insane things to the body.
Oh, of course
I think
they
Angle
have.
Might
but
have
I think,
even more insane.
But I think Angle can do other stuff, and I don't think RVD can.
Okay, but let me
I don't see
this.
Chain
I'm
wrestling
say,
RVD.
But I'll say, I think the same thing. I think Kurt Angle needs to wrap it up by 2013. I think the difference is, Kurt Angle, if he wraps it up, can come back once or twice a year, like what a whole like what Undertaker or Triple H is now.
Yeah.
And give us a really good match once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think RVD will even be able really be able to do that.
No, and that's what I said. RVD doesn't have the ability to do that.
So when I say Kurt Angle wraps it up, I don't mean that we never see him again. I think we never
right.
see RVD again by the end of 2013 for his own sake. I think it's better in his legacy and everything. I think Angle, you can every now and then see him have that one or two matches a year, like you've seen retired guys have.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Really
I could agree. I could agree with that. And you could keep. You could even keep Kurt Angle on as a figurehead.
Oh yeah.
That you know, once a year,
a
once a year gets pushed too far. Right,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah.
I could see that, yeah. So, okay, well, D-Von wrestles Kazarian for the TV title in a non-advertised match, I guess. And
but it was on TV, so it had to happen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, just like last Impact.
Yeah.
But,
oh, wait.
I did like Christy Hemme announcing Kazarian as one half of the World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Yes, yes.
Playing into that,
keep
I like that.
Keep that
yes.
gimmick going.
Anyway, D-Von wins.
D-Von
next.
Wins. You know what? The
next.
Crowd likes D-Von in this role.
Right.
He's over to that Orlando crowd in this role, and that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
it's okay. It's you know, like you say, first match,
yeah.
Pretty good, 2.5-star match. This match, 2 stars. Nothing
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah,
nothing. Spectacular.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fair.
Yeah. Then we get to Tess Marker and Madison Rayne. Madison Rayne wins the title. Earl is the ref. The basic story of this match is the end is Tessmacher pins Rayne, but Rayne gets her foot up on the ropes, and Earl, of course, breaks up the pin. And then just a, I don't know, like a minute or 30 seconds later, Madison Rayne rolls up. Tessmacher puts her hand on the ropes for leverage. Earl's on the other side, so doesn't have the vantage point to see that, so counts the three anyway.
Yeah.
And that's basically the match. Now...
there's the plausible deniability, as you said, when we were watching
yeah.
that he missed it. The other thing is, during the match, there's points where Rayne was expecting him to be on her side and help her.
Yes.
And he didn't.
What the
and
hell,
when the
Earl?
Match was, and when the match is over, when he awards her the belt and holds up her arm, she rips her arm away from him, like, fuck you, don't touch me.
Yeah, don't
so,
fucking touch
so there's,
me.
Yeah, don't, yeah, exactly. So she channels a little bit of Karen Angle.
The thing is with this is...
She looks a little like a shorter...
She does, yeah.
Karen Angle.
The thing with this is, I would have gone more with the Mickie James ref heel turn thing because, again, as we'll get to later on, Earl being instrumental in the main event. So
that's true.
It's just, to me, it's like, if he's done this fuck up and now he's the guy that's got to straighten out the main event. So it's like, I don't know, right?
That would have
so.
Been a better spot, yeah, in the main event, basically, we'll say there was a spot where he had to come out and restart the match.
Yeah.
That would have been better off in tonight. After this event angle, if that had been Sting coming out or someone like that, somebody
yeah.
who
yeah,
you know
authority, yeah, that's
yeah.
right. So,
of course, then Andy wanted to fly him in just for that, and I guess not.
No, exactly right. So, next match was Bully Ray, James Storm, Jeff Hardy, and Robbie E. in a tables match. Before that, Bully Ray did an interview backstage with Jeremy Borash, and he said that he found some cards, aces and eights, on his on the hood of his truck or on the under the windshield of his truck.
Basically, like you say, he cuts kind of a babyface promo, though. Yeah, he's a bully and he's a badass.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to win, and if you want to fight me, I'll fight you.
I'll be in the ring. I'm not a hard guy to find, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go out and put people through tables tonight.
Again, we thought, I was of the understanding that his contract situation had been settled, and we find out this week that it still isn't. He's on his Twitter machine, he's talking, should I stay or should I go? What should I do? I'm going to go listen to The Clash, was his quote.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how much of that is playing off of the stories, or again, I think it's pretty. And I mean, after tonight, but I mean, we'll just jump to the end here. Bully Ray wins, so I mean, he's staying.
Yeah, but here's a couple of things that's important here. Number one was James Storm. While he wasn't about to win, he was in a dominant position in the match.
Right.
And out comes
the aces and eights.
Aces and eights. And through this distraction, Storm...
Well, it was Hardy was about to put James Storm through the table.
Yeah.
He set him up and was going to dive through. That's when the aces and eights come out. So
yeah, they kind of surround the ring.
They kind of come out to save Storm or make the appearance that they're saving Storm.
They look at Bully Ray, who's already on the ground at this point. He's been kicked, super kicked out of the ring.
Yeah.
And they kind of give a thumbs up to Storm.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically, yeah, I mean, they distracted Bully, they distracted Hardy, and they kind of saved Storm.
Yeah.
Now, that said, at the end of the day, Storm still doesn't win. Bully Ray wins. The question is Bully Ray legit hurt? Because he was out of the ring.
Yeah,
and
at the end
camera,
of the match.
Off camera, kind of, you could hear him say, my arm is broken.
It was on camera, but...
Well, it was on camera, but I don't think he was aware so much of thinking... He wasn't talking to the camera.
No.
He wasn't so much aware the camera was on him. That's what I mean.
At first he said, I think my elbow is broken, and then when they went back to him and he was standing at the top of the ramp, you could hear him saying, it's shattered.
Yeah.
Is what he said.
And it seemed like there wasn't a spot where he would have hurt his arm in the match. Like a spot where he worked the arm, where there was an arm injury, worked spot.
Right, right.
So, for that reason, I wonder if at some point something happened and he's legit hurt.
But it's just a matter... We will find out. It's just a matter of how hard he's hurt, right? Or how bad he's hurt.
Shattered.
Yeah, well, I mean, but...
Yeah. But it seemed to me like a legit injury. So how does this play into everything? And I said to you know what? If he's a legit injured and has hurt his arm,
mm-hmm.
and he's supposed to go over and he knows he's not going to be able to wrestle over the next few months... He should have called an audible to the referee and told them to give the victory to somebody else there.
You said that, but then my argument to that was I'm Bully Ray and I'm an independent contractor and I'm looking out for myself. And so if I'm in this contract dispute and I haven't in fact yet maybe agreed to but not put pen to paper, I'm still going over this match even if I'm hurt. Because now I'm tied for fourth, and I'm in a better position. Whereas if I'd called the audible and let, say, Jeff Hardy win, and now I'm in seventh, well, I can just kind of be kicked under the dust and put out back behind
you
the barn and shot,
right? You would hope they
would
do that to somebody after he calls the audible and does the right thing for the company and for the spot.
The reason that Bully Ray does that and fucks other people over is the same reason... is because if he does do the right thing, the company is probably just going to fuck him over. So fuck me before I fuck you is basically.
Well, basically, let's go back to we watched the Kevin Nash RF video timeline. Not RF.
Kayfabe
Kevin. Kayfabe commentaries timeline 1995.
Fuck.
And yes, he said fuck. We think almost 700 times in 3 hours.
Yes.
No bullshit.
No fucking bullshit.
But a great DVD. We recommend you buy it as well.
Yes.
We really enjoyed it. Anyways, we did a live audio commentary for that. And one of the things that he's on there is he's talking about how he and Sean are going to have the main event of WrestleMania for the title and how they're best friends, but Sean is going to fuck him and get himself over at his expense, and he knows he's going to do it. And he doesn't mind. That's business, basically. And so I understand what you're saying about Bully Ray. It's the same basic idea.
Yeah, exactly, right? Fuck me before I fuck you. It's the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that is understandable.
Yeah.
But now, the other thing that I said to you was, we don't know if Bully Ray's staying, we don't know if Devon's staying, they're individual stars and completely different
mm-hmm.
storylines right now.
Yeah.
I do wonder if the dropping of the Bully Ray-Joseph Park storyline has something, because it does seem like it was just suddenly dropped. does have something, and now they're building up the Aces and Eights storyline. So I wonder if it has something, if that's just because they've gone as far with that as they think they can, and they want to build the Joseph Park Abyss storyline separately, or is it that they, they don't want to go for it because they don't know what's up with Bully Ray? I mean,
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I told you, I said I wouldn't be surprised if this was as we talked about before, is that, you know, Bubba Ray had been working as a babyface a little bit, and he's got that kind of a tough guy character that is very easy to turn babyface. Like, it's not.
And I mentioned I saw him on Explosion, Russell Daniels, and he wrestled as babyface.
So to me, I mean, what would happen if the, you know, Park had talked about Park and Park getting some new wrestlers as clients? Well, those could be Aces and Eights, and
we talked about,
in Abyss,
we talked about
so.
The Luke Gallows. So people, everybody assumes that Luke Gallows is the you know, is the, one of the guys in Aces and Eights, but it, physically that could just as well be Abyss.
Oh, it could be both, though. I mean, yeah. It's...
So all we're saying is there's a lot of ways. Now, the other thing is I can't imagine Devon leaving and Bully Ray staying or vice versa.
Yeah, I know. It's for them to
even
be...
Even though they're completely separate and they're not a tag team anymore, this, you just can't picture them not working in the same place. They are still very close.
Linked, exactly.
Yeah,
they're linked together. And, yeah, it's weird to see one without the other. Think of even one being in one company, and, yeah, that's just... Because then there's no. To me,
so
what kind of happen
does that hold in as well?
So. I don't think really any, but
I'm not so sure.
I think
who
so.
Knows? But. Who knows though?
I mean, other than timing, right? Is that they'll both come up at the same time because they came in together, right?
Hey, Christian and Edge were working in different companies. I never thought I'd see that for a long time either. So.
Yeah, but then they really went in other opposite directions, Edge and Christian, you know, and then they were in opposite directions to the point where I didn't consider them really linked together at the time that
or
Christian
Jeff Hardy
left,
and Matt
right?
Hardy.
And they're not at that.
Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy.
Yeah, but again, same thing. I mean, when Matt
is...
No,
not so much. Not the first time Jeff left.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's because Jeff was a fucking meth head.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, I know. Was? Is?
Was.
Huh. But, I mean, that's just the thing. So, I mean, there's lots of factors.
But I'm just throwing it all out there.
I know you are.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going.
AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Zema Ion against Kenny King for the X Division title.
I think this match, for most of it, looked like a lot of spots. And then I think the last 5 minutes or so, they had a lot of really good chain wrestling, a lot of really nice linked spots.
Yeah.
It didn't look quite as much set up and hitting moves. And I thought the last 5 minutes or so were really strong.
Yeah, I mean, they worked hard. I mean, I don't know how much of it clicked. It seemed like it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the show-stealing X Division championship match, but I don't know that, again...
I didn't need that, though.
Yeah, but I get the sense that, say, Kenny King could have something like that. I don't get the sense that Zema Ion is able to have a show-stealing match. I think Kenny King with the right opponent, because of his athleticism, could... I don't know that, like, I could see, like, I'm just throwing it out there, like, John Morrison against Kenny King, I think, could have kind of show-stealing potential. I just don't see Zema Ion in that role.
I suppose not, but the finishing sequence here was very strong.
It was, yeah. And again, some nice, chain wrestling and a Spider-Man kind of, you know, flip over sort of thing. So that's not too bad.
Another 2.5-star match.
Yeah, about an average match there. Then we get the ladder
basically
match.
Basically, you've had a 2-star and then 3 2.5-star matches.
And then, no, I would be going with, the Chavo is a 2.
Yeah, I'd give it 2.5.
I know you would, but you'd probably give it 8. But Chavo with a 2, the Devon with a 2, this with 2.5, the X Division with a 2.5. The Falls Count Anywhere, I'd give a 2.5. So is that? Am I missing a match here?
So you're giving 2, 2.5, and I'm giving.
Oh, okay, and then
two,
you got.
You're giving 2, 2, and 2, 2.5. I'm giving 3, 2.5, and 1, 2. So we're a half one match where you disagree by a half a star.
That's right. So I'm right.
Fucking...
You're right. and there's the Bully Ray James. So what would you do that 2.5?
Bully Ray. Probably, 3 stars.
Okay, so we're off by a whole star now. Fuck.
Yeah.
See, you're really wrong now. Then we go
to 3/4.
Let's go
to 3/4.
All right, so we're what, 3/4 though now?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm right by 3/4 now.
My brain hurts. Ladder match. AJ, Kurt, Joe, Daniels. Yes. Yes, I do. I stick it into your mom every night.
That's the head, not the brain.
Well, that's what I think with. Ladder match. What do you think?
Very good match.
Yeah.
I don't think the crowd was as into this as they expected. Basically, this match, it was set up so that Christopher Daniels is your pussy little heel.
Yes.
With three badass, or one babyface who hates him and two badasses, and he's everybody's bitch.
Yeah.
And yet, despite that, he always seems to manage to find himself in a situation where he might have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And so there's good psychology, a lot of good moves, not a fast-paced ladder match, not a lot of crazy spots or ladder spots, but a lot of very properly paced so that it told a story.
Yeah.
This is a very storyline-based four-man ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, and it had a really terrific finishing sequence.
Well,
AJ getting the Duke.
I think there's a couple
really athletic moves.
Couple things that stand out in this match. AJ gets knocked out to the outside to set up the finish. Bangs his head really against the mat there to the point where we both really winced. Like,
well,
he seemed like he was,
old.
We're like, oh, fuck. It seemed like he was trying to protect himself going over and actually probably did more harm than good
doing
it.
Yeah,
kind of
didn't catch himself right going over.
Yeah. So with AJ knocked out, almost literally, or knocked to the outside, this is my favorite part, I think, almost of the pay-per-view. Joe and Angle take turns having a suplex contest with at Christopher Daniels' expense.
I just felt so sorry for Daniel. Because he's taking a lot of high-impact moves back-to-back.
Yeah. Kurt does a German, so Joe does a German. And then
belly-to-belly.
And the head and arm, head and arm. And they look at each other like they're having a contest. Like, I do an angle slam.
And then eventually it was, you know,
angle slam.
Angle slam. They set him up in the ladder. They kind of just line in between. They just both kick him.
Yeah.
And then Joe finally, when Angle's like, okay, what are we going to do next? And Joe goes, what are we going to do next? I'm going to punch you. And just hits him. And it was pretty funny.
And knocks Kurt out of the ring. And then Joe climbs up. And then out of nowhere, AJ jumps onto the ladder from the outside. And like just really just kind of scales up like a monkey and grabs the contract or the envelope and wins the match.
This was reminiscent of some of those quick run-up-the-ladder moves where... Shelton Benjamin. I wasn't going to say that because you said he went up like a monkey. And that made me uncomfortable.
Oh. He had yellow hair, though.
Yeah. But nevertheless, this was reminiscent of some of those Money in the Bank ladder Shelton Benjamin matches.
Yes.
And type move, and it looked really cool. And good win for AJ, which we liked because I said to you beforehand, we're like, well, AJ really can't win because he's so far back with the Bound for Glory series, and who's it going to be? And we're kind of, and I was like, but if AJ wins, he can build the guy who's at the bottom who makes that final push to get into the top four and make it to the next page.
When AJ
me the storyline.
Apparently has had, I think, 7 or 8 matches to a lot of guys, 10 matches, so he's got some time to kind of.
A little bit of catch up.
Yeah, so I mean, that very well. Could be.
Now,
right
after this, can you call up right now the updated Bound for Glory standings?
Yes.
Especially if we go to the TNA.
James Storm, Samoa Joe.
Let's get the points. Let's give it all. Go to the TNA website.
I don't want to.
Fine.
James Storm, Samoa Joe, and then RVD, and then Kurt Angle and Bully Ray are tied for fourth.
Oh, for fourth, you're right, and then right behind that, I believe is what's his name, Hardy, Jeff Hardy.
What's his Hardy?
He's Hardy.
Hardy.
Yeah.
Ed Hardy.
Jeff.
Hardcore Hardy.
Just Core Hardy.
Core. That's right.
Core Hardy. Weighing 516 pounds. Core Hardy. There he goes.
Where?
The aftermath of Hardcore Justice. Oh, no, wait. This is on Spike TV. Does their website... It can't suck to the point where it's not offering us Bound for Glory stats.
I don't know. Just BFG series updates. There you go.
Okay, well, hit that then.
I just did. Fuck.
Oh. Well, hit it then.
Fuck it.
Updated
standings. Bound for Glory. Hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
do that way. James Storm.
No, this isn't right.
Oh.
This is before the PPV. So 20 points goes to Rob Van. Don't fuck off. I can do this, jack off. James Storm has 66 points. He's still in first place. Yeah. Rob Van Dam, by virtue of his 20 points, is in second place with 55. Samoa Joe, 54. Kurt Angle with 48. Bully Ray tied with Kurt Angle for fourth with 48. And now AJ Styles has 36, jumping into sixth, I guess, because there's two people tied for fourth.
No, jumping into sixth because Mr. Anderson is in fifth.
Jeff Hardy's fuck in sixth. Cock. Fuck, Dick. He's not.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is. Told you. Why did you forget about Mr. Anderson?
So
then he's in seventh, though.
So at the end of the night, though, you're going, James Storm is still in great shape, but the other three guys, is there six guys competing for the other three spots?
And it was in striking distance. AJ Styles has, again, only had six matches.
Yeah,
he's had the least, and he's, so I mean,
Bully Ray also didn't have many matches, neither has RVD.
So literally you could do a Storm, Joe, Angle, and like AJ
any of those guys can go in with Storm.
Because then, I mean, Hardy would
Joe
be
Angle,
good too.
Anderson, Hardy, RVD.
Well, Anderson and RVD, fuck you. I think you got
so
five.
So any of those other guys could end up. So I like it. It's very, what I'm saying is Bound for Glory coming
what
out.
What are you saying?
The last few weeks on television leading into the final pay-per-view where we decide who wins and goes to Battle for Glory. It is it's very compelling the way they booked this, and it's going to be a race to the finish, and it's going to be a lot of fun on TV.
A race to the finish?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a sprint. It's going to be a... It's going to be a...
Like a, Mexican?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to run right through you.
Right, right. Not like Chinese. Because then you'll just want more in 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I am hungry. We did have Chinese for supper.
We did have Chinese for supper.
Of course, then again, even if we had anything else, I'd still be hungry.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Fat.
Our fortune cookie said we were going to get anal.
Every fortune cookie means you're going to get anal.
That's true.
That's can be true. Misinterpreted for that, but not from each other.
Oh, no. No, no. Not at all.
With you and Chavo, maybe.
Ding, 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 ding. I prefer Hernandez. Supermex.
Supermex? It'll run right through you.
There you go.
They should have a shirt saying that.
Right through you, huh?
All right,
fuck. The main event
of the evening.
Of the evening.
We're live.
We are live. Austin Aries versus Bobby Roode. And this was great.
The story was basically at the beginning was Roode would not lock up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Aries was...
No, that sucked.
I like that. It was pissing Aries off. Aries looked so good tonight, man. He was so crisp.
Really? Better than Chavo.
What's that?
Better than Chavo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He looked so good. He was so crisp.
And?
Good
abs is what you're saying.
Nice eyes.
Yeah.
But, no, he has shown a great charisma, intensity, and really crisp and athletic. Like, he carried himself like he was a star tonight.
Yes, the Austin star.
Yeah.
But, no, this was great. I mean, you telegraphed when basically what happened is it was Brian Hebner was the referee, and he got knocked out. So then a new referee, who they called Stifler for some fucking reason. That might be his name, but you need to fucking change that because he's not in a fucking American Pie movie, retards. But
he has fucked your mom.
Yes, with a pie. But they come out and he comes out anyway. And you had said at this point, you know. And then he took a bump. And then once he took the bump, you said, well, you know what's going to happen is we double pin one guy. Each ref counts for each guy. And I thought, yeah, you're right. And I actually don't mind that because that gives an excuse to have a match next month.
So because that'd be set up so that whoever lost was not going to get a rematch.
Exactly. No rematches. This will be the final time. So they do that spot with the double pin.
And you're like, this is good. And I'm like, the crowd is confused. But once the crowd kind of understood it, they were into it. You know?
And then Earl comes down and says, no, 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 no. As the senior referee, this is where
and
I
consider. And you're like, yeah, he's going to hold up the belt.
Yeah, I thought, okay, there is no champion. They're going to have him hold it up. And I had said that as well that, and again, this is the part where I was talking about the whole Madison Rain thing earlier, is that now Earl is supposed to be this man of wisdom and you know, the ultimate kind of referee authority
after
figure guy.
After playing him for a patsy earlier.
Yeah, after he
yeah,
got
this
fucked over
weak.
By pussy. So
this
it's like,
wrong.
Yeah. So that's just kind of a little bit of a didn't set too right. But anyway, basically, Earl restarted the match.
Yeah, which we were like, what?
Wow. And then again, we were at about after the quarter two spot, so there wasn't much time left to go.
No, this is, again, why we didn't expect this.
Yeah. And anyway, then Aries wins.
Yeah, basically, Rude is out of the ring. He's got the belt. He's screaming, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
My belt. I won.
And then Aries does a dive out of him and just kind of ends up hitting the belt. Like, Rude kind of angled it, and it hit Aries in the head with the belt. But
yeah, and Aries is not cold, right?
But Rude did seem like he didn't really mean to do it, but then had a big grin on his face,
yeah,
and he realized
kind
what
of
happened.
Looked, he kind of looks at him, he's like, oh my God, he's out. He gets this wide-eyed look in his eyes.
Like,
yeah. I've got to get it. Now the match is, I'm okay with starting it. He throws him back in. Aries kicks out anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Rude is basically, can't believe this.
Yeah.
And loses concentration and allows himself to get rolled up. 1, 2, 3.
And I thought they were just going to do the whole, like, goes to pick him up for a body slam, Ricky Steamboat on Macho Man, Randy Savage kind of deal.
Or,
like,
Bret Hart, Diesel.
Yeah, I thought they hit him with the Mo, right?
Yeah.
So, the small package. But instead it was a roll-up, and Aries retained.
So that's the other Mo.
Right. The roll-up? The fruit roll-up?
high five. Okay.
But Austin Aries retained, so, I mean, he's still...
But the storyline can be from Rude... I know I'm not supposed to get another title match, but in the match I wasn't supposed to get a title match, I didn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
That afterwards wasn't the same match. That was a new match. And so I have an out. They could work it that way. Will they? Are they planning to? Who the hell knows? But they could.
Well, exactly. Who knows?
But either way, we're both like, we like this. This is an interesting storyline. A lot of twists and things we thought we could predict, but we couldn't in that final match. And we really like the fact that they are keeping the belt on Aries. I want them to keep it on for a long time. He's doing great with it. He's the right guy right now to be the champion.
I think he is, and I think you just hold on to it. And again, I think that, to me, you could change up. I said, ultimately, like, I mean, again, I can see both ways. I mean, I can see Rude getting it and Storm winning the Bound for Glory series.
The other thought is what we suggested, what we would like is for A Double to be the special ring commentator, guest commentator, for the four-way match to settle the number one contender, the main event of the next pay-per-view,
right.
No title shot.
Exactly.
We prefer that. But on the other hand, if they do give us a Rude Aries match instead, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, exactly. And really at this point, if James Storm wins and Robert Rude wins and they have that match for the title of Bound for Glory, that to me isn't the worst thing. If someone else wins the Bound for Glory series and A-Double keeps it and they have that and they have the Rude Storm grudge match built up, that's okay with me, too, surrounding this Aces and Eights thing, because they've done this tertiary storyline, or secondary, it's really a tertiary storyline, where, again, everybody isn't believing me, and it's all your fault, Robert Roode, I hate you, and they can have that match sort of flow out of that as well. So they don't have to have a title, and they've started to plant the seeds of a possible story that they could continue with to make it seem not just that we had to do this match because we built it up and now it's not for a title.
And the other thing is that there's so much going on with Aces and Eights and whether or not AW and the world title is going to be involved.
AW isn't
involved. No, a different guy. He's not employed. But AW, whether or not that's going to lead it to Aces and Eights, I see the thing is they have a lot of storylines that are set up. I don't know which one they're going to go with, but I feel like I'm okay with all of them.
Well,
I love that.
That's just it.
Like,
I
know the storylines, but I don't know exactly where they're going.
It can go this, this, or this, and I'm okay. It's much like the title match tonight. Is that, you know, they were doing the double pin, and I was okay with that.
Yeah.
They restarted the match. I was okay with that, too. Aries wins. I'm definitely okay with that. So,
by the way, I'd like to just say this right now. In case anybody wants to send any letters or flowers or candy or anything, I have tertiary.
Really?
Yeah. Caught it from your mom.
I've heard that. A little bit of penicillin will clean that right up.
No shit.
Yeah. Well, no, you have to stop doing that is the problem. No shit, yes. You know that fortune cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But she's so cheap for it.
I know.
And
I
like
know.
It.
I know. I know. It's a curse. But what do you do? What do you do? But no, that's hardcore justice. What are you thinking? Out of 10, what would you give it?
I'm gonna give it 7.5.
Okay, I'd say 6.5 myself.
Okay.
I think I was going kind of 4.5, and then the main event threw it up to a 6.5. So no, I mean the main event is great. I thought the ladder match told a good story, entertained me, and again more things on the show entertained me than didn't. So again, it's above average.
I would give it. Until the last two matches, I would have given it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
And then each one of those probably added a point and a half for me. So, yeah.
Okay,
so 7.5, I think, is a very good show.
Yeah.
Great. Great is 8 and over, but very good.
Yes, very much, very much. So, okay, well, that's the pay-per-view. So we'll look forward to how they spin everything this coming Impact on Thursday, I guess. So this past Impact, the Aces and Eights, started with doing promos.
Yes.
And they used a voice box to cut these promos, and I thought that was a nice touch. I don't think they need to do it every week, but you know, it just again, I enjoyed that because it gave something a new twist or a new thing.
I liked it. I don't know, something about the voice box. I liked it. They come off on the screen, and I'm not expecting them to talk, and the first words are, "Hey, asshole."
Yeah.
In his voice box. And it just made him feel dangerous again to me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so I like that.
Yeah. And then you thought they were talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's connecting with the audience is all I'm saying.
That's what we're doing.
So, yes.
Like, they specifically are talking to, no, that's you. You're the asshole of attitude.
Oh, fuck.
I'm the crown prince of charisma.
Speaking of assholes and attitude...
Yeah.
Let's talk about AW.
Yeah.
He was fired.
He was fucked.
Was he?
Yes.
He knows your mom?
He knows Kelly Kelly.
He knows Kelly Kelly. And he's black.
He is?
I heard something. Yeah. Well, you know what? Him and Kelly Kelly, that's actually why, that was the one thing that he was glad that he got fired, because he was looking for time off anyway, because him and Kelly Kelly have a holiday in Colorado coming up.
Good, good. In a hotel room.
I don't know where they're going, but so it's Colorado.
I don't know
their itinerary.
That's bullshit. You don't have to force Kelly Kelly into anything.
That's exactly picking up the bucks like an answer in the club. But
he's fucked. Yeah, that was a bullshit firing for a bullshit offense, and it came bullshit way too late, and it got a lot of the people in the locker room are upset over it. And he said it perfectly. He didn't even say anything that offensive. He's going to go into stand-up comedy next. Good. I think he'll do good at it.
He
said himself best. I've watched Stone Cold Steve Austin and the things he said.
Stove Austin.
Well, yeah. He was,
really?
He's kind of like Steve Austin.
Except for... it was...
Southwest.
The Steve Austin stuff you put into a turkey. Stone Cold Stovetop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Stone Cold, he said, I watched Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm created by him.
Stove
and
top,
you don't want
Steve
another
Austin.
One. What's that?
Stovetop Steve Austin.
Stovetop Steve Austin. He watched him. So
his match, Stovetop Steve Austin's match against the Gobbledygooker is tremendous.
It is an awesome, awesome match.
Beat the stuffing out of him.
He did. Oh, you Guerreros.
Oh, Chavo. But, no,
yeah,
I mean...
Yeah, no, he said, you don't want another one. I looked at all the things that Steve Austin used to say on television.
Yes.
I said something sort of like that, but not nearly at that level, and I got fired for it. So
yeah.
He's got a great point, and they fucked him, and they fired him for nothing, and they waited too long to do it. This is bullshit on a stick. Fuck you, WWE.
You know what? There's two kind of schools of thought with this.
No, there isn't.
The first thing that this reminded me of is... the Daniel Bryan tie choking, you know, in that again I don't know the how sort of deep it went, if they were worried again about sponsorships and things like that because of
whatever.
Hey, fuck you, whatever. Okay, sponsorship versus, because AEW is going to make you what, tens of dollars, fuck A&W. A&W is not going to...
Millions and millions.
A&W. Yeah, that's the...
Millions and
that's
millions.
That's the primetime players.
Oh.
Will make millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. AEW, whether he's there, whether he's on NXT, whether he's on SmackDown, whether he's up your ass, is going to make the WWF no money, and it absolutely bearing on business.
We have heard nothing that any sponsors are upset over this.
No, I know. But all I'm saying to you is that who gives a fuck about AEW?
You know what? If he really said something offensive, I'd agree. But since he didn't say anything offensive,
I
don't agree.
But whether he said something offensive or they were just doing cost-cutting measures, who gives a fuck about AW? That's all I'm saying. Is it AW...
Apparently a lot of the people in the locker room...
Yeah, you know, sure they do. Yeah, now it's like the person that dies. All of a sudden everybody's their best friend. Fuck off. No, it's in 6 months or in 6 weeks, who the fuck's... AW, who? What? That's the place... You can get a good hot dog there, can't you? Yeah, you can.
Yeah, the whistle
but,
dog.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, I mean, fuck, it's no one, that's all I'm saying is that, yeah, okay, should he have been fired? I wouldn't have done, I wouldn't have fired him personally if I was, and is that bullshit? I'm not upset about it because I don't give a fuck one way or another about AEW. He's nothing.
I don't give a fuck about AEW.
That's
what
it was all of a sudden you're going,
thing.
Fuck
you,
WWE.
Well, no, but here's the thing, I don't give a fuck about AEW so much as you're asking me my opinion. My opinion is he got fucked. Fuck you, WWE.
Yeah.
You're fucking a guy. Thank you, Kevin. Now,
yeah, but see, all I'm
now,
saying
my
is,
point
I don't,
is, I don't care about him either. Do I give a shit about AEW? Do I think he's a lot of money? No. Do I think this was the right move? No, I don't think it's the right move. So you're going to ask me my opinion on whether I think this is the right move or the wrong move. I'm going to tell you I think this is the wrong move for the wrong reason, and he got fucked.
Well,
now, does that matter enough for me to give a fuck about him? No. Do you know why? Because he's AEW.
All I'm telling you is
I'm getting a drink.
I did ask your opinion, but at the time I'd asked your opinion, I thought it was going to matter. And apparently it doesn't. And my whole point with this is you're talking about, I fucked a guy and fucked this and this is a thing and am I going to get worked up? Well, if you're the one that's saying, if you're going, fuck you, WWE, then clearly you're worked up about it. And all I'm saying is, yeah, okay, does that suck? Yeah, okay, if I'm AW, that probably sucks. And am I unemployed now? Yes, did they ask me to do something to get to talk more? And then I did this? Okay, I did, and now I'm fired. Does it suck to be me? Yeah, it fucking sucks to be me. Do I give a shit about, am I thinking, oh, this is a fucking corporate, fuck you, WWE, the man for doing this and fucking, no, I don't give a fuck, because it's AW. So now we've talked about AW long a fucking enough. So the next thing that we're going to move on to is a little bit of a, well, AW went nuts on his Twitter machine, and said that they turned their back on me and all this fucking bullshit. Nobody gives a fuck, so let's just move on. But speaking about Twitter and the Twitter machine, Randy Orton was taking, I guess, some questions. Apparently people do this on Twitter every once in a while. They'll say, I'm going to take some questions now for the next half hour, so tweet me your questions. And so people were asking Randy Orton questions, and he said one of the questions was how come you're not advertised, or how come you're not in the advertisement for the upcoming Summerfest, and his response was, sadly, I'm not booked, and which is why he actually went, they asked, Triple H, I think, said to him, he said, you know, well, I'll see you in Los Angeles for SummerSlam. And Randy Orton said, well, I'm not going. He said, you're not going. He said, no, I'm not booked. So, I mean, so he, apparently Randy Orton saying he's not booked. Couple that with the WWE.com angle that they did with Booker T stating that because of the actions of Alberto Del Rio, the world title match at SummerSlam is off. So, apparently there's no match. So, I expect that something will happen on Monday where the match will be back on. But what do you think? Do you think there's a possibility Randy Orton gets put in there? Or do you just think that the match will be back on one-on-one?
We talking about practice? Practice? What are we talking about?
Practice. Why?
Randy Orton will obviously... Seems very likely that he's going to get booked on.
You think that? I don't.
No, I think, they have an entire week left. They were just waiting to the last They're just waiting till Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
They wouldn't. A week out for a pay-per-view, that's a lot of time. And Randy Orton will be on. They're not going to not, but I've said it before. This is what I said to you, I think, on the last show. Or maybe I said it off camera. I think I said it last show, though. Was I think what's going to happen is right before the match starts, it's Alberto Del Rio versus fucking Sheamus, and the two's music plays, and then all of a sudden Booker T's music plays, or AJ's, whatever, it doesn't matter. And out steps whoever the authority figure is and says, and we have another, you know, surprise for you, it's one last, we're throwing in a third competitor to make this just like the WWE title, the world title, also a three-way match, and Randy Orton's music plays, and he's the third guy, and who knows, he might even win the thing, even though I doubt it. I mean, Del Rio's always there to take the pin, but yeah, I mean, that's what I said last week. I still expect that, so yes, he'll be there. He may not be booked tomorrow night. They may even give us a, hey, there's going to be a different guy replacing Del Rio. We'll announce it at SummerSlam, and then at SummerSlam they announce Orton, and Del Rio still gets back in. I don't know. But basically, I'm sure he'll be there, and I'm sure I won't care because I'm sure it'll be a guy I've seen a billion times in a billion matches, and it won't seem fresh.
Yes. There's like a massive lightning storm going on outside.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. So anyway, I just had to let the dog out and tried to let
Chinese
the dog right back in. Yeah, it could have been. Cool. You make a movie? Not this time, pal. Told you. But let's open the window here, sir. Not the window, but the blind, so we can look outside. So
hey, turn off the lights, and that way you also don't have to look at you.
The pod is
over.
Right,
oh, you have notes.
Yeah,
have
no. What?
Who? Otherwise, I turn off. I don't want to look at you.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So
you're used to hearing that in the bedroom.
I know. Like mother, like son. But the thing. Let's just go on some other notes. Shawn Michaels is going to be on Raw tomorrow. So we're looking at the possibility being of the Brock Lesnar angle that they didn't pull the trigger on, that we complained about them not pulling the trigger on, possibly could happen on Monday. So hopefully that's the case.
Let's go this way. Instead of talking about the possibility of what they might do with Shawn or what he's there for, this and that, let's say right now, out of 10, what is your excitement level for SummerFest next weekend?
One week
from today.
2.5.
2.5 out of 5?
Out of 10.
Oh.
You?
Well, first off, fuck you.
Because
I told you mine was 2.5 out of 10.
You did.
I'm about a 2.5 out of 10 on this thing, though.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
I know.
Seriously, we got to turn off the lights and watch this. Basically, it'll be live audio commentary on us watching the lightning storm.
Apparently.
Because that is... And it'll be fascinating, but also better than Raw.
This is true. It'll be the most electrifying edition of We Talk Wrestling. Huh?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
No, what'd you do?
Lightning.
Oh.
Is electric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
So I let my dog out, and then I see this like massive lightning storm. I'm like, hey, hurry up and piss and get the fuck in before
I'm just hoping it ends before I have to drive home.
Yeah, no shit. Well, there's no rain or nothing. It's just
I'll be driving into it. Like,
yes. No,
I got, you know, to be at work in 6 hours or so here.
This is true. So let's move this show along a little bit.
But yeah, okay, so 2.5 out of 10. So instead of talking about Shawn Michaels, considering you're not into the rest of the show. Considering, well, I had a few beers.
Oh.
Considering you're not into the show, and I'm not into the show, what can they do tomorrow night as a go-home angle to make you excited to watch the SummerFest?
Not really anything at this point.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make, you know what's going to have to happen, honestly, is a kick-ass video package.
Wow. Dude, that lightning.
I know, crazy, huh? A kick-ass video package is really going to be needed for Triple H and Brock Lesnar. I don't know that they have it in them because the angle, they like to do these recaps of angles that have happened thus far.
You let your dog out. I'm going to let mine out here just before shit goes down.
Yeah, my dog's going to like run out though.
Your
dog's sleeping. Just leave her alone.
Oh, you're right, fucker.
So yeah. No.
You have.
But, but that was earlier.
Perfect.
That was earlier. She asked me.
She stuck her little doggy ass up in the air. And you just couldn't resist.
But she waved it like she just don't care. But
a dog comes in with a big brown, or with a skinny round waist and a big brown thing that's shaking in your. I don't fucking know.
I know you don't, because that was a popular song after 1984.
Girls just wanna have fun.
What? Oh, I was thinking Girls in Cars.
Oh, that too.
Robbie Dupree. I think that I know, right? And WEC.
But a great video package. What else? Anything else they can do?
That's about it. I mean, the great video package there, I don't think there's really anything else in terms of, the Punk.
I think there's nothing they can do with Punks. There's nothing they can do with Sheamus. There's nothing they can do with Cena. The only thing they can do anything with is HBK and Lesnar.
Yeah,
then it's going to feel like 1 week too late and a disappointment.
And the Jericho... Well, the thing is, it should have happened last week, and then this week should have been the I'm so pissed at you promo, right?
I'm going to kill you.
I'm coming. Yeah, exactly. And the other part is that when the Jericho Ziggler doesn't need any more to me.
No.
And then, and then you're going to have Brian and Kalen. So, I mean, there really isn't anything that they can do.
Instead, I'm going to get 3 hours, maybe some good matches, some guys I've seen a lot, and a lot of talk about tout.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to open with Big Show and CM Punk one-on-one.
Like I say,
that's
the
where it's
worst
opening.
The TNA gives me now is a good show.
Yeah.
The best they give me is a great show.
Yeah. The best WWE gives is
the best is a good show,
yeah.
And usually it's a below average show. They go from bad to good.
Yeah, they do. One benefit though of WWE, because I mean I don't think we need to talk too much more about Raw, because that's really about it, and too much about the Summerfest.
I think they could have. It won't do anything for me.
Yeah,
but they could have D. Bryan out there doing something, and all of a sudden on the Titantron, Charlie Sheen on Skype says, "Oh, you're going to be in my territory next week." Really? Los Angeles? Well, I'll be there, too.
I'll see you there. Club. Yeah, and that's fine.
It's 30 seconds pre-taped video, and it will get them some vibes, and we'll get them some pub, but it won't do anything for me.
No, what I'd actually really like to see, and they can if they just do the interference here, and they really want to build this publicity, they can't do it because they've already announced Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Is every time every match is going to be a championship match. So they'd have to hold it off to October, which might be okay if they could do like a whole month build on this. But what you have is the super match of the ages, in that if Charlie Sheen is going to be in Kane's corner at the Summerfest or interfere or do something, then Daniel Bryan finally is completely just pissed, and he gets himself his own partner.
Paul Bearer?
No. You have Charlie Sheen and Kane against Daniel Bryan and Pete Rose.
Oh.
He's going out and getting a WWF Hall of Famer.
Makes sense.
Eh?
I thought you were going to say Chuck Lorre.
No. Who?
No, not Jim Neidhart.
Oh.
Chuck Lorre.
Right. Yeah, the Iceman.
Yeah.
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 The Ice Dagger.
See a mismatch.
Yes.
But either way, yeah, not into the fact that right there they're not going to do much to save it. Will Triple H and Lesnar go on last, or will Cena go on last?
I think Triple H will go on last. Okay. I think so, yeah.
Break the streak.
Yeah.
And you know what? I like that, because CM Punk, even when he's in there with John Cena,
can't
still
be
doesn't
on
go
last.
On last.
Yeah, there is that story, too.
That story
and I think the match-wise, it makes sense, right? Yeah. You put the actual main event. One thing that's good about the WWE, something that they've done recently... That's very, very good.
Oh,
I know, right? Lightning. That they've done that's very, very, very good.
Calgary has this really weird thing where we can have chain lightning, but more than that, we get sheet lightning.
Yeah.
It lights up the sky like it's daytime.
Crazy. Like a dancer in a club. But something that's really been good for the WWE that's happened just in this past few months, and we noticed it on some of the recaps recently for Raw 1000, and that's that they've had a settlement made with the World Wildlife Fund,
mm-hmm.
in that they no longer have to blur out their old logo. Yes, the old logos of any kind do not need to be blown out, and no references to WWF need to be edited Like, they've come to a settlement that's and that's something...
It's long enough.
Well, they were really keying in on that in terms of the network.
Yeah.
Because they don't want, you know, obviously to have this network where all this shit's all blurred out, not that they're going to have a network, but it's, you know... But anyway, it's good for old footage, for a thing. I noticed it even as early as Vintage.
Yeah.
They were talking about WWF.
Yeah.
This past
that's
Vintage.
Cool.
So that's a new thing, and that's a very, very, a very good thing. We just keep kind of bouncing.
There's another firing. We talked about AEW.
Yes, yes. Sophia Cortez. She seemed like she was coming. She seemed like the best worker that I saw on NXT in the female.
She was considered the best prospect and developmental for a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, in terms of in-ring, I think Shaul Guerrero is still considered the top diva overall prospect.
You're probably right, yeah. But in-ring she was. They considered to have a good attitude of what we understand.
No, bad attitude, that's why. She got released.
Oh, everybody said that she seemed to really pick it up and be very, very, very good listener.
Yes, but the company had said that she was starting to get an attitude that she was thinking she was too good for developmental at this point. And she may have been, but she made that kind of vocal, and then they kind of said, okay, well, you know, again, Sable, Sonny, they've had enough of that shit, and so they kind of tried
exactly
to nip that in the bud, right?
Seth Rollins has also, Tyler Black has also basically said that. And hasn't been fired, right?
No, exactly. But again, they just have that history, and so they just do that. But
they got rid of her, and she'll probably end up on Gut Check in 3 months.
Yeah, that's true. Nice. Another move, talking about while we're on the subject of NXT, semi-regular discussion on this program in terms of the topic, the man. Big E Langston.
Mm-hmm.
Big E Langston now pins the men in NXT. And you know what he does? One, two, three, looks at the ref.
Five.
I want five. He's the man that demands the five now. King Kong Bundy, here we come.
Beautiful.
So I heard that and I thought, that's fucking awesome.
Now the rain's starting to come.
Yeah, yeah. So that's NXT. I'm just trying to think of anything else that there is. One follow TNA note, I guess. Former TNA competitor, I guess, wrestled AJ Styles on pay-per-view. Frank Trigg. He's so stupid, Frank Trigg. He called me too. He wanted my advice on this, but he didn't take my advice because Frank Trigg is actually in jail.
Oh, is he?
He has been arrested.
I bet
he was Kurt Angle. He's been arrested and he is in jail in Cobb County, Georgia right now. And he called me and he said that he was thinking about going there. And I told him, I said, well, let me just tell you something. I said, Frank, if you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia.
Or Cobb County.
Cobb County, Georgia. You better read the signs, okay, and respect the law and order.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you'll serve hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he didn't do any of that because now he's serving hard time.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
I have no idea. That's not the point.
Maybe.
The point was me singing the Big Boss Man song here.
Is it possible he hit a patch of ice?
It is very possible. He has a very, very nice.
Cobb County, Georgia.
He has a very nice cellmate, I understand, named Kevin Kelly.
Hmm.
So it's, but
serving hard time.
Yes. Impact this past Thursday, 1.21 million.
Before we move on here.
Okay.
You can only pick one.
Okay.
This or that, a little quick game.
Okie dokie.
Big Boss Man, Hard Time.
Uh huh.
Dusty Rhodes, American Dream. Which song?
I go with American Dream.
Okay.
I go with American Dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big Show or Big Boss Man? Big Show theme, Big Boss Man theme.
Boss Man.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, if possible, remixed at the beginning with Boss Man just going, my daddy.
Oh, pepper steak.
Oh, loves it. Loves it. 0.9 for this week for Impact up against a very strong Olympics.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
This coming Thursday, now that the Olympics are over, though, NFL preseason game on Fox.
Preseason, whatever.
Okay, well, we'll see what that does. But
most of the NFL season games, I believe, are still on the NFL Network.
Yes.
Which doesn't have a huge level of penetration. What?
What?
Huh?
Oh.
Doesn't have a huge level of penetration.
You said level.
I said level of penetration. It's kind of like you and my mom. Not a huge level.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. We're kind of crooked. We're not very level.
But it's on the NFL Network, so I really don't think that'll hurt them all that bad if it's on the NFL Network because
right.
Yeah, a lot of people still don't get it.
Yeah. I understand, yeah. But this one on Fox, I mean, there's a possibility here, right?
This one, but it's still a preseason game.
That's true.
Like
it's true. So,
well,
we'll see. Yeah, it's all of him. So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. So.
It'll hurt maybe a little bit, but I don't think it'll do much.
No. No. Okay.
What else we got here?
Well, I mean, I don't want to leave on a bad note, but we did have the passing of Red Bastien yesterday at the age of 81. I guess suffering from Alzheimer's. One of the biggest stars of the 60s. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously we didn't get really to see him, or he wasn't part of our era of wrestling.
Yeah, he wasn't part of our era, but basically my knowledge, I mean, when I was doing my recent list about possible inductees into the TNA Hall of Fame, he was certainly on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And what he is a guy who's basically a career babyface, essentially, and I got to know Red Bastien because about 5 years ago, I think it was, before Bret Hart got back in the WWE, I read an interview with him where he said he discovered Red Bastien on YouTube and been watching his matches and said he thinks he's probably the best worker of all time.
Right.
And Bret Hart said this man is the best worker of all time.
Yeah.
So the first thing I do is I go on YouTube, start watching all his matches. I watched a lot of Red Bastien matches because of what Bret Hart said. And I've watched and read as much. I read some biographies, some Wikipedia, some, I think it was Slam Wrestling, I had one or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I read some about him. So mainly a guy who mainly, as far as championships, was largely a tag team wrestler,
right, yeah.
If you wanted to ever see him in the WWE, the only time you would have seen him was on the DVD, the tag team DVD, and there was a match with him on there that was an awesome match.
Okay.
I can't recall who he was in there with, but I remember it was a terrific match. It was one of the ones I watched on YouTube. And he is, as far as timing and athleticism for the era and psychology, he's great.
He was a team, in the Bastien Brothers team that was against the Graham Brothers.
Yeah.
And that was Vince McMahon, his personal favorites growing up were Dr. Jerry and Eddie Graham. So, those there. So that was a team. Also a member, a tag team with called the Flying Reds with Don't You Dare Miss It, Billy Red Lions. Who's a Canadian institution now, Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Speaking of Roddy Piper.
He was an AWA tag team champion with, who was that he had that with? Lou Bastien, the other Red Bastien. So that was his brother, was it?
Lou, yeah. So
I think that's who it was with, or I don't know. I thought he teamed with the Crusher or something like that, too.
Could be. But he also, I mean, you talk about Roddy Piper. He's very instrumental in Roddy Piper's. He's the one that said go up to Don Owen in Portland and work there, kind of guided Roddy Piper there.
And he also was
walked into a
gold. Backstage was a guy who had a reputation for very good in the locker room. Kind of a laid-back guy, fun guy, party guy.
Oh, they said he taught Ric Flair how to be Ric Flair.
That
really?
That's something. Okay, well, that's something else, if that's what they say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know he had a very he was very popular in the locker room, very much somebody – everybody loved when he was in their territory.
Well,
it was good for morale.
You think of, again, his contribution. And again,
I hear he was a bit of a ripper, so.
Yeah, well, again, a fun guy, one of those guys all you hear about, kind of Owen Hart, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him. Again, talking about, I said, he guided Roddy Piper up to Portland. He actually found a gold gym and started Sting and the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, did he?
And got them hooked up into the business. So
did he ever book anything? Do you know?
He booked Dallas. I think he booked the Dallas territory there. But
again, this is what I remember is watching his matches, thinking he is awesome based on what Bret Hart said. Bret Hart!
Yes. But I mean, also, you talk about giving back. I mean, he was president of the Cauliflower Alley Club from 2001 to 2007. So he did a six-year where he was president there, and he just apparently he really loved it and was Dave Meltzer talks about how he was one of the old timers that was telling people you got to get the Observer.
Oh, really?
Right, and saying you got to do this. So I mean, he as much as you get the old crotchety kayfabe old timers, he wasn't one. He kind of saw what was, and you know, had no problem with you know, people talking about it and loving it. And so he got it, you know, and I mean he was with you know, just talking about his, we talked about his titles, and I mean he was Florida heavyweight champion, he was an NWA Canadian tag team champion.
Yeah, largely a tag team wrestler for most of his career, but
But no, that's again, he was 81. I mean, he did again, he was suffering from Alzheimer's, so I mean, I guess in terms of that, it can be a bit of a blessing when people, you know, are suffering from things that go.
No, I mean, this isn't the case of somebody, you know,
this isn't Eddie Gilbert. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, 81 years old, lived a, you know, a long life, and you know, sad to see him go.
Certainly
but,
had an enjoyable life.
Enjoyable life and definitely an impact on the business. 185 pounds. He was, you know, so it's just one of those things. So, I mean, as much as
I would say people go on YouTube and watch some of
his
matches, you'll see why he was so good.
And as much as we talk about, you know, maybe a sad note to end on, it really is, I mean, it gives happy memories of someone that was a great contributor to the business.
I'm just fascinated by his, he's really pretty much perfect in the ring.
Yeah, so. Well, I think that's probably going to do it as the lightning continues. I hate to cut this short, but I'm just waiting for the power to go out here and us to lose the entire show. So
yeah, so that would not be good.
No.
I'm not staying around and record another one.
No. So
let's wrap this up and go OUT. I'm Mo, M-O at We Talk Podcasts. And We Talk Podcasts is, of course, has We Talk Wrestling and a bunch of other shows and blogs and stuff and good stuff. So Mo _ We Talk, M-O, no E on my name.
That's right. And Addy, A-D-D-I-E. At WeTalkWrestling.com. Of course, WeTalkWrestling.com is where you can find all of our shows and blogs, and we're on us at Stitcher and iTunes and Facebook and all over the place. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.